Okay, we had a long gospel, so we're going to make up for it with a long homily. Bob Perks tells a story of a time he was driving on a dark country road. He was on a business trip and had been driving for about 5 hours. He was well into the country and wearing his best business suit. Nightfall was approaching, and the weather looked threatening. Sure enough, there was a bang and a flop-flop sound he knew was a flat tire. Darn. There was nothing to do but call the automobile club. And of course, his cell phone was well out of range. No sick. Bob began to unpack the trunk. He never traveled light, so there was quite a pile of by the side of the road before he could get to the jack and the tire. As a few cars buzzed past in the dark, in his best suit and tie, he got down to the dirty business of changing the tire. Behind his. Blinded by the headlights, it was difficult to tell who got out. But a male voice asked, "Hey, do you need any help?" In his frustration, Bob's reply wasn't too diplomatic. But he got a better look at the figure, and he could see a young man dressed entirely in black. Bob says, "Nearly everything imaginable was pierced or tattooed. The young man's hair was badly cropped, and he wore leather bracelets with spikes on each wrist." "How about I give you a hand?" the young man insisted, taking the tools and beginning to work. Bob noticed someone else sitting in the passenger seat of the young man's car. He suddenly felt outnumbered and concerned. He had heard stories of robberies and carjackings. Then it started to pour. "Look, my friend, just stop what you're doing. I appreciate your help, but you better get going. I'll finish after the rain stops," Bob said with trepidation. "Let me get your stuff back into the trunk. It'll get ruined in the rain. Then get in my car. You can't sit in yours while it's up on the jack. It'll fall," the young man insisted, while pulling Bob toward his car. "God protect me," Bob prayed, while falling wet and tired into the man's back seat. "Are you all right?" a kindly, frail voice said from the front seat. Bob was greatly relieved to face a petite old woman he assumed was the man's mom. "I'm Beatrice, and this is my neighbor Joey," the woman said. "I'm grateful for his help," Bob responded with apparent relief. "Me too," Beatrice said. "Joey takes me to visit my husband. We had to place him in a nursing home. It's about 30 minutes from home, so Joey and I have a date every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday." As they waited for the rain to stop, Beatrice told Bob that she wasn't the only one that Joey helps. He was a volunteer in their church and tutored kids in the learning center at the low-income housing unit in their town. Later, the rain abated and the car was repaired. They were about to part. Bob shook Joey's hand and began to apologize for his first reaction to Joey's appearance. Joey stopped him and said, "I get the same reaction all the time. I thought about changing the way I look, so I'll leave you with the same question I ask everyone who takes the time to know me. If Jesus returned tomorrow and walked among us again, would you recognize him by what he wore or by what he did?" As Catholics, we don't spend much time reading, studying in Protestant faiths. The de-emphasis on biblical study dates back to the Protestant Reformation, during which Protestant theologians came to regard the Bible as the beginning and end of revelation from God. In the post-Reformation era, there existed in the Catholic Church an aversion to all things Protestant, and as a result, we find a lesser emphasis during this time on revelation through Scripture and more emphasis on the thoroughly Catholic idea of revelation through tradition, that is, the action of the Holy Spirit in guiding God's church on earth. However, beginning with Pius XII and continuing through the emphasis in Vatican II on biblical revelation, the church sought to reestablish balance in this equation. It sought to encourage both clerics and the laity not only to study the Bible, but to look at it in new and different ways. But as Catholics, our ways change slowly. So even 50 years after Vatican II, we still spend too little time reading and understanding God's revelation through the Bible that it's important for us to read and understand. It's Matthew's chapters 5, 6, and 7. In today's gospel, and for the next few weeks, in Matthew's words, we'll get a brief glimpse into the new covenant proclaimed by Christ. In these gospels, Matthew spells out clearly how Jesus would have us live our lives. These are important and perhaps surprising ideas in these few chapters. In the gospel last week, Jesus called his disciples the salt of the earth and the light of the world. He called us to be the light of the world, to be the light that illuminates even the darkest corners on earth. He encouraged us to be different from the norm of humanity, the salt so necessary for life, but which is also the spice which enhances the flavor of what is good in our existence. This week, he has said he has not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. In that he meant that through the Jewish law, the commandments would not be set aside by his coming. The Jews of that day had perfected the art of defining in minute detail the meaning of the law of Moses, but in so doing had lost the spirit of the law. Jesus maintains in today's gospel that he was sent to lead us beyond just spirit. He repeated the old law and said, "Do not kill," and urged us to go beyond this minimum, to avoid hate, anger, or even disrespect to others, and to resolve the hostilities we feel in our lives. He said that the law said, "Do not commit adultery," and again counseled us to honor our promises to our spouses fully, not just in a physical sense, but to treat them with patience, honor, and kindness, and avoid those things which might ultimately lead us down the path that threatens our vows. And in next week's gospel, come next week and listen carefully, see if you can see the continuation of Matthew's story. In the story with which we began the homily, Bob met a young man who, despite his unusual and somewhat scary appearance, lived Jesus' message in Matthew. Joey's appearance was misleading. People who look like Joey don't do good things. But Bob learned that it's what we do that's important, not how we look. In Matthew's gospel, Jesus preached against those who appeared to follow the law while truly living otherwise in their hearts. Joey was different. He appeared menacing, but in his heart and in his life, he lived what Jesus taught. Over the next week or two, think about preparing for Lent by reading these three chapters in Matthew. In my Bible, it's only 5 pages. Perhaps as a family, you can read them together. The message in those 5 pages is very simple. It's that Jesus calls all of us not just to comply with God's law, but to embrace it and go beyond. To do not just what is written. Human words are often inadequate to express the will of God. Let us live and own Jesus' words and do what we know in our hearts is right.